Good evening, everyone. It's our last night together at FAT. So let's pray that we can hear once again God speak to us. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for the fun that we've had, for the fellowship in our cabins and in teams. We pray also, we give you much thanks for the great time we've had around your word in the Bible study, in the morning talks. And also we as encourage each other informally about the things that we've learned. Father, we ask that this would be the Spirit among us at all times. And we'd ask that we would be a people who are eager to hear your voice and to apply it to our lives. And we ask for these things once again tonight as we hear you speak. We pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I couldn't help think as I saw Shane Warne in the papers on Wednesday. He was caught in a photo with his pants down, revealing his underpants, with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, that I couldn't help but think it was just one ongoing step in a long walk in the same direction. That no matter what he says, no matter what the excuses, there's always been the feeling that here's a guy who just doesn't get it. And so when a million Australian schoolboys dream the dream, when thousands of hopefuls train and play and hang out for selection in the Australian cricket team, Shane Warne has had it all, and he's valued it as nothing. Shane Warne has had it all and hasn't behaved accordingly. Because when you're honoured like that, when you're part of the Australian team, when you're enjoying the privileges, certain things go along with that, that are really just a matter of living in a way that's worthy of what you've been given, living a life worthy of the honour that you've been called into. Now, being a Christian might not seem to you to be quite the stuff of dreams that the Australian cricket team is, but in reality, it's far bigger. And the way Paul painted the picture so far in Ephesians 1-3, it's an incredible privilege. Here you are as part of the people of God. You know, you catch it occasionally on the news when one of the young guys is signed up for the Australian cricket team, and often they'll say, I used to watch Steve Waugh on TV as a kid, and now I'm playing with him, or Ricky Ponting, or whatever. You see, they've dreamed the dream and they've made it. And it's been like that for us, especially if you're a Gentile like us. You see, you'd be saying back then, I used to watch the Jews, the people of God. I used to think it must be great to know the maker of the universe. And now, because of Jesus, I do. And I've gone from death to life. I've gone from having no hope of anything to the sure hope of heaven. I've got a share in this spiritual inheritance of Israel, not because of how good I've been, but because of the grace of God. And now I'm part of God's church. To which Paul says, good, now live like it. It's a turning point in the letter here in chapter 4. 1-3 is all about what you've been given. Chapter 4-6 is how you live in response to that, which you'll notice is the exact opposite of the way it works in the minds of most religious people, who think that if you're good enough, they'll earn their way in. But it's the other way entirely, isn't it? You're saved by God's grace. So, live this way in response. The turning point here is at the start of chapter 4. It's live a life worthy. Did you see it? Live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Shane, don't bet on matches and phone through secret information to bookies. For a bloke with the honour of playing for Australia, it's just not worthy. Shane, don't go making dirty phone calls to girls you meet in the pub. For a bloke with the honour of playing for his country, it's just not worthy. Shane, don't care what they are. Don't pop pills. Live a life worthy of the honour you've been given. Well, for us, you know, it's going to look like that. Live a life worthy of a person who's been called into God's church. And here are some of the pointers. They're crystallized in verses 2 and 3, and then expanded. And at every point, it's about how we express and strengthen our unity as we realize that we're all part of one body with different parts to play, which is going to boil down to being very practical things. Verse 2, it says, be completely humble and gentle. That's not half humble and two-thirds gentle, depending on the circumstances, but completely. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. In other words, put up with one another, even when it's not easy. And verse 3, which you'll notice assumes there's an underlying unity for God's Spirit, but reminds us that sometimes preserving that unity can be such hard work, because it so easily just slips through our fingers, doesn't it? He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, because there's nothing more unworthy in God's church than letting our unity slip through our fingers. You see, we are one body. That's what verses 4 to 6 are on about. The logic is simple. Verses 4 to 6. The reason we're meant to be making every effort to stay united is that we're part of one body, sparked by the one Spirit. That no matter how different your background and my background, God's the same Spirit. God's same Spirit is working in you and working in me. Do you notice that? See, there's a family likeness that you'll see in Christians everywhere, because the same Spirit is at work transforming our differences in the same one direction. And you'll see the word one jump out 7 times in verses 4 to 6. Hold on to the unity, because there's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all and through all and in all. Which for the Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians in Ephesus is a huge idea to get their heads around and to start putting it in practice. So, and how do you do it? By each one being completely humble, and each one being gentle, and each one being patient, rejoicing in one another's differences, instead of insisting on things being done the way they've always been done, or things being done the way you'd like them to be done. One body with one Spirit under one Lord. No matter what you were, it's what you now are. So live in a way that's worthy of that. Make every effort to keep things that way. Which maybe is going to mean developing a strong sense of protectiveness for the unity of our church and youth group family. Watching for the sort of words or actions that could be divisive. And it's obvious, isn't it? A word here, a snipe comment there, the sort of remark where someone draws you aside and you know they're just fishing for opportunities to fan up discontent, to snipe someone. Don't listen. And be wise enough to look for ways to do the opposite. I mean, here's a new thought. Why not take someone aside and say positive things to promote unity? But there's something much more positive than that, because as a body, we're actually meant to be exercising and growing. That's the point of verses 7 to 16, a section that starts and finishes with a reference to the different parts of each of us. The different part each of us is given in the body. You see, to each of us is basically what it says at the beginning there, verse 7. The church is one body with one Spirit. But to each one of us, verse 7, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. To each of us, a different gift, a different part to play. And again in verse 16, as the section closes, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. One body with many parts, one Lord, but he's handed out many gifts. To each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And verse 8, There's a word picture there from Psalm 68 of the victorious king bringing home the spoils of battle and handing them out to his people, which Paul pictures at the resurrection and ascension of Jesus as he pours out gifts to his people. They're all different, but they're all for the same purpose. As it was in verse 11, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastor teachers. Two, to do what? To prepare and train and encourage and teach everyone else to do what? To serve one another. With this purpose, midway through verse 12, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You see the logic? Prophets and apostles, who gave us the scriptures, evangelists and pastor teachers now, all working in the same direction, to see everyone playing their part, using their gifts, building up the body, which grows stronger and stronger in love as each part does its work. Let me tell you the bad news. Church is not just a spectator sport. Much as you maybe wish it was, church is not a show, and you're not an audience. Church certainly isn't just 1 hour a week where you sit and listen, or else not off as you look out the windows. Church is being part of a living, growing, loving body, interacting, growing to be more like Jesus as each part does its work. See, you're not the audience. You're the, if you like, the orchestra. And maybe you're the string section, or the brass, or the number one violin. You know, I've always... You watch the percussion? Ever seen the percussion with a triangle part? That's the high-stress part, I reckon, because that person sort of stands there most of the time just watching. They're just counting the beat, watching for just the right time to play that right ding. Ding. That might be you. That might be you. Whatever might be, it might be that you can do nothing but pray. So pray. Because all of us are part of an orchestra with the same goal of encouraging one another to grow to maturity, more and more like Jesus. You see, there is the immature alternative. You see, now of course the alternative to growing up is to just keep being a baby. And verse 14 paints that option in a very vivid mixed metaphor. You see verse 14? Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful schemes. It leaves you with a disturbing mental picture of a baby in an ocean storm. I guess you can include a boat in the mental picture, but not necessarily just a baby overboard. But here's the picture of ineffectual, immature Christianity that's all too familiar, that comes from churches where the members of the body don't build one another up and don't build on substantial teaching. Did you notice the foundational gifts upon which the rest is built? They're all to do with teaching the truth of the gospel, from the apostles to the evangelists who share the good news of Jesus, to the pastor teachers who feed the flock by teaching the word. To a church where each part of the body wants to build up and encourage the other parts. The sure protection from immature Christianity. Then we'll no longer be tossed around as infants. Verse 14, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. I mean, have you seen it? I mean, it comes in waves, quite literally. Trends, the latest Christian thing. Many of you may not have been around long enough to have observed it. I've seen it come in many waves now, and if you keep your eyes on it, you'll watch it too. It's the latest Christian thing, almost like yo-yos or songs in the top 40. There'll be books about in the local Christian bookshop. There'll be bestsellers, this new blessing or that new blessing, the prayer of Jabez, and you say it every day and you prosper, the prayer of Jabez for teenagers, say it every day and you don't get pimples. Keep an eye. You see, if you keep an eye out, you'll see the trends sweep through. The long lost secret of this, the new prophecy of that. All I know is that Christians who are blown this way or blown that way, who will be moved by whatever new thing that comes along. You see, there are all sorts of scams out there. You receive an ad in the mail. Put $20 in an envelope and send it to us and we'll tell you how to get rich. People put $20 in an envelope, send it off, and it comes back. Do the same as us and you'll get rich just like we did. People fall for it. Internet scams where people lose all their life savings. People are falling for it. Paul says the best protection against Christian scams is to grow up. And the best way to grow up is to be part of a body. When we speak the truth to one another in love, where we speak the truth to one another in love, so we will in all things grow up. Verse 15, into him who is the head, that is Christ. As we grow together, support one another, build up one another in love, as each part does its work. You see, what are the implications for us? See, I wonder how you'd like to be part of a youth group like that. I would. A youth group full of humble people, gentle people, patient people who put up with one another. More than that, who love one another. I wonder what part you could play to make our youth group a youth group like that for someone else. I wonder what you'd need to do to be living a life worthy of the calling you've received. By starting to use what you've been given to serve instead of just sitting on it. I suspect we're on the way, friends, we're on the way, but we've still got a long way to go. And I reckon it's the big job of our leaders and I have got as sort of pastor teachers. The passage is talking about here, our job is to encourage you and urging you to turn talk into action. We're on the way, but we could still go further. But here's where we're heading, you see? This is what we want our youth group to be. Not just playing church, but being church. Maybe there's some unlearning to do because of the way you think it ought to be. Whatever you do, though, don't fall for the idea that church is some sort of denomination or some sort of set of policies or a state. Don't fall for the idea that there's this thing out there called the church that you could point the finger at and say, oh, the church should do this or the church should do that. You see, the church is us, together as a body, sharing as a body, caring as a body. The church is each one of us using our gifts, using the gifts we've been given to build one another up to maturity. Great things, I mean, there's great things going on among us. We're seeing more and more gifts used each year, aren't we? There are things going on at FAT this year that were not going on years before. I won't point them out because you've seen them. But we're trying to get more and more of you guys ministering to each other at youth group, in children's ministry, in schools. I've watched many people over the years now, your age, run ICF groups, inter-school Christian fellowship groups, and I've seen many of them see many of their friends converted. Overseas Christian groups in school of tens of, well, one girl oversaw an ICF group of 75 girls in a girls' school. I know. I watched another bloke at a school captain saw about seven of his mates converted in 1 year and oversee an ICF group of about 40 or 50 in just a state school. But that's where we could go if we will stand up and work as a body. Why so little unity? Why so little unity? Well, you see it as you work through the book of Ephesians. You can hear all this stuff, but you can just go on playing church. And nothing changes. See, the key question for us is, where is the love? And you can have lots of politeness, but where are real relationships growing? That's where we need to keep working at. See, verse 2 says we're meant to be people who bear with one another in love. Verse 15 says we're meant to speak the truth to one another in love. Verse 16 says we're meant to be a body that grows and builds itself up in love. And yet there's not going to be love here if there's not even the first step towards friendship or hospitality. You know, I hear occasionally of people coming to youth group and no one speaks to them. Doesn't that make you shudder? Makes me shudder. That we're a clique. That's hard to break in. Oh. The only way we can stop that is if we work as a body. And we're always looking out for the other. Are you uncomfortable with that? Can I urge you then, as one of the pastor teachers, to do something about it, to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. We've been called together as part of God's church. And maybe for you, there are things that can change. But maybe you realise today there's someone you need to forgive or to forbear with, to kind of be patient with, so you can grow together. Maybe you need to learn to be gentle, or to work on your humility, so you don't always need to be right. Maybe there are gifts you've got that you can be putting to work to build up the body. Maybe it's time to look around and say, it's time to be welcoming, to be hospitable. When you ring your mates up, how about think about make an extra couple of phone calls to a mate from someone you've met from youth group who's you haven't gone out with before. It may make their week and month. And start showing love in a real way, in a practical way. And living lives worthy of the great calling we've received to be part of the body of Christ, the church of the living God. Let's pray to him, hey, and ask him to help us in this great task. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have called us, those of us who have faith in Lord Jesus, to be part of your body, the church, your people here. And Father, we ask that you would enable us to live as one body, to seek and to strive for that unity that comes because of the gospel and the spirit that we've received, that would transform us all in the same direction to make us more like the Lord Jesus. But Lord, also we thank and praise you for the gifts that you've given us, each of us, and we ask that we'd be a people who would use our gifts to build each other up, to encourage and to support each other in practical and loving ways. Father, make us such a youth group so that we would be a light to the coast and a great example of the love that you have for all mankind. We pray for these things in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.